Best Reggae Album. The nominees are Atana, Gramps Morgan, Sean Paul, Jesse Royal, Soja, Spice.
And the Grammy goes to Soja.
Grammy goes to Soja, the group you're listening to in the background here. I know a lot of people said they have never heard of them. Let's give a little peek. Give me something to believe in. I want to say a pleasant good afternoon to my guests. This gentleman, I asked him for a bio, and I was sent 4 pages of bio. So you know what? I'm not going to go into all of that because I will never finish. I had the pleasure of meeting this gentleman many moons ago, I had the pleasure of meeting this man along with, I was introduced to him by Mr. Gary Steckles of the Montreal Gazette, who was the entertainment editor at the time. And I'm still amazed he has a collection of approximately 300,000. You know, I one of these days, I'm going to get this printed in the community contact, because just saying it is, it's just not enough. He goes by the name sometimes as Ras Roja. I hope I got that right, Roger. How are you doing? Let me get up your thing here.
I readjust my scope, I pull the chin, watch it fly.
Yes, Roger. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm here with Dr. Dredd, the founder of Ross Records.
Ah, Dr. Dredd. He was in New York for a while and then he moved out, or what?
D.C.
D.C. Yes.
Where Soja was formed. And the reason I wanted him to be with us today is he's been a house guest here all week, first of all.
That's okay. Repeat that, Roger. I lost you there.
Dr. Dredd was based in Washington, D.C., which is where Soja is from. So he has known this group since it was formed well over 20 years ago.
Dr. Dredd, welcome to CKUT Radio McGill in good old Montreal. Yes, I've heard a lot about you. My brother Tony Carr told me quite stuff about you. And I remember at one time I came to Washington and it was a Diamonds album, I think it was. And I had to go by wherever your store, not store, office or whatever, to collect that album. Never forgotten that. So, welcome. Now, if you know about the good old, I don't know. This band seemed to have been around quite a while. And now, all of a sudden, there's this uproar in the Jamaican paper, the Jamaican news. I was reading The Observer and some news program on, not RGR, JBC, I think. And everybody is upset because they claim a white group won the Grammy. Gentlemen, what are your humble opinions on that? I'm speaking to two white guys, so somebody tell me.
Well, you know, Soja started out, like Roger said, in the suburbs of Washington, D.C. and Virginia as, you know, some youth who grew their dreads out and really got into reggae music. And, you know, over time, they built a pretty large following here in, you know, America, California, Brazil, and Europe. And, you know, right now the situation for reggae music is that a lot of the young white American youth who used to be into Bob, you know, and when our generation, we were into Bob Marley, got us into reggae, that a lot of these white American bands like Soja and Revolution are the ones that the young white kids are relating to, you know, at the big music festivals. And I guess it finally came down this year that, you know, one of them went home with the Grammy.
And I have, to be honest with you, I have no problem with that. I have truly have no problem. I am not going to tell you that I listened to them. I was introduced to them through the Grammy and through my original DJ. I had to call him in Jamaica. I said, tell me about it. And he sent me a couple of slides, and believe you me. By the way, my young, because I'm sure he's going to have some questions for you. He's sitting up in the corner there waiting on you guys. His name is Drew, and we get to him after. But I see nothing wrong with the, I don't know what the color of the skin has to do with the guitar or the drum. You know what I mean? So these guys, if they have work, go ahead.
It's a sign of the times. And what I believe as someone who's very connected to Jamaica and to Jamaican artists through my label Ross Records is that it's like, you know, a wake up call.
I hope so.
If Jamaica wants to be, you know, on top of the reggae game, you know, they need to figure out what they need to do to be there, because Bob Dylan said the times they are a-changing, and they've certainly changed.
But, you know, I heard a guy made a point this morning, and he said the only full album that they had at the Grammy, the Reggae Awards, was from Soulja. Everybody had three songs and two funky and one hip-hop or whatever they're trying to do. And that is one of the qualifications that I figured I would not have allowed them if they didn't have a reggae album.
Well, usually it has to be at least 51% of the album has to be reggae.
And by the way, he can talk with all the authority because he's been with the Grammy Awards as chairperson.
I am the founder of the Reggae Grammy Committee at their request back in 1984.
Ah.
And that was the year that Black Uhuru won. And I was chairman of the committee for 27 years. And it went through a lot of changes in those days. And there was one point where we were listening to an awful lot of complaints from people who said it should be roots reggae and also a category for, you know, dancehall, which is not roots reggae music, as we know.
Right.
And the year that the committee and I decided that we would press really hard for a second category for reggae, we walked into the annual meeting and were told that they were going to dissolve the reggae committee completely because they didn't have enough records for nomination in the category. So not only did we not get an extra category, we had to fight like hell all through that year to keep the committee going at all. And reggae is in such retreat around the world. We've just lost the Billboard reggae charts.
Wow.
There's not enough sales of reggae music to keep a chart for it anymore.
Wow. That's not good.
Not good at all, no.
Wow, wow. I know you, Roger, has been on the lecture trail for years. Have you ever thought of going to Jamaica and just sit in one of them radio stations and explain to them what is happening with reggae music, because it has no, the gumption is not there, pardon my word, but you know, you're listening to some of these reggae music. I'm not saying everybody should be cultural reggae, but at least make they're pumping them out because of the drum machines and what have you, like nothing. Do they still use musicians in Jamaica? I wonder.
Well, they do. Yeah, some people do, but most of it is made with drum machines, like you say, and even with computers. But, you know, this is a trend in all popular music, you know, where artists are not even using real instruments. They're letting a computer, you know, generate the sounds that they sing on. And, you know, like Roger and I have talked about, every generation, you know, wants to create their own musical identity. So the music our parents listen to, you know, we don't want to listen to that. So, you know, in some regards, you know, the music has to evolve and change. And, you know, Jamaica, just like they have great sprinters that win the Olympics, you know, they need to figure out, you know, how to get into a reggae groove that, you know, people in America will relate to, because I think in Europe, Roger, aren't people still into roots reggae?
Yeah, I think Europe is keeping the roots alive with the festivals that they have in Germany and the big Rototom festival in Spain. The acts that they bring to those festivals are primarily the remaining living people from the rocksteady and early roots reggae era. But every generation, as Doc says, needs their own people to reinterpret the eternal verities. And reggae is such an important message music. I hate to see it in eclipse. I don't have any you know, hard feelings about white people winning a reggae Grammy.
Me, I really don't care.
I wish it had been somebody else. There is a group that I've known since they were in high school many, many years ago, from LA, and they are called the Expanders.
Expanders.
And Doc didn't know about this group, and the other night I just played the record without telling him anything about who was singing. And Doc was going, "Hey, is that the Itals? No, wait a minute, it's the Gladiators. No, it's Hell and Fire." All these great roots people, you know. And I said, "No, it's a bunch of white kids from the San Fernando Valley."
Look at that.
And they cover the most obscure Jamaican roots music. And they sound like they live up in the Blue Mountains. And this is one of my favorite albums. I haven't stopped playing this in the past 3 years.
What's the name of it?
Old Time Something Come Back Again.
Old Time Something Come Back Again. Yes.
Volume 2. and it's got some tracks, you know, like Brutal Out There by the Itals and some other stuff, Walla Walla. and it's just, it's a fantastic interpretation of roots music that makes you live a better life and just feel good about yourself.
Roger, would you say this is why the Grammy has accounted for viewership, because especially where the reggae is concerned, it's just not there anymore. The quality, the oomph is not there anymore for reggae. So it's
reggae is part of the 80 categories that don't get any on air exposure at all. You know, we're up against polka and classical Mexican music and all kinds of, you know, minor fields. And then unless a reggae superstar appears with some big pop star, they're not going to give any blies to reggae on the broadcast at all.
One of my listeners just said, how come Gramps Morgan didn't win?
I don't know.
Well, people should be aware that, you know, the reggae, the committees of the Grammys whittle down all the entries to 5 people.
No, they don't. What happened was very recently they disbanded what they called the screening committees. which I was, you know, I was the head of the Reggae Grammy screening committee. And how it used to work is that the labels, people like Dr. Dre, would submit albums released in the time period. And we would listen to it and make sure at least 51% of the album was really reggae. And then that list of sometimes as many as 60 or 70 records was sent out to the broad membership of NARIS, which is about, I think, 11,000 people. And the top five vote getters from the first round then became the nominees. Wow. And you were only allowed to vote in about, I think, seven categories out of the 80 minor categories. So they were hoping that the categories you would vote in were those that you had a knowledge of and experience with. But we never knew how many votes were cast. They never told us any of that information at all. It could have been a few hundred votes total in the reggae category that decided the winners. But a couple of years ago, after the Grammys Too White movement began to get a serious foothold, they abolished the committees. And I don't know, because I've been, you know, out of there for 11 years, exactly how they determine what the initial list of potential nominees are. If you don't have a screening committee, who decides what's in the category? So that's a mystery to me.
And once it gets down to the five people, you know, the members of NARIS, which is the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, the members, who many work for record labels, many are musicians, you know, you have to pay your dues every year. I think it's around $100 to $150 US. Then they vote. So, you know, a lot of the Grammys is like a pat on the back. It's like people who, you know, want to give somebody a Grammy award, they vote for them, the people who were members, you know, of NARIS. So it's not always going to be the best or most worthy record that wins.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with sales, has nothing to do with quality. You know, and if a major or a label like Universal has an album on one of its subsidiary labels, they send a letter out to everybody who works for the company with a list of Universal albums and urge them to vote for that company's albums.
Whoa.
And if your name is Marley.
Yeah, I was just about to ask you that.
Probably going to win.
Yes.
All right, here's the story now, Stretch.
Yes.
Here's the story. Several years ago, I was emceeing a concert at the House of Blues in Hollywood, and one of the acts that night was Eka Mouse. And I went up to the dressing room to say hi, and he almost hit me. He pushed me away, and he says, "What's the matter with you, white boy? Why you no give me no Grammy?" Like,
wow.
I personally, you know, awarded the Grammys. And he said, "Why you only give it to those white Marley boys?
Mm-mm.
Why you no give it to me? I'm too black, aren't I? Why you no give me no Grammy?" And I calmed him down a little bit, and I said, "Mouse, if you really, really want to win the Grammy, I'm going to tell you how. Next album you put out, change your name to Eka Marley, and I guarantee you'll win."
I was just going to ask that, because it's like 12 years in a row or something the Marleys won. I am lost for words, but now that you're telling me, you know, and
it's all political.
It's all political. So I hope these guys didn't win because of politics. But anyway, you know, my young interviewer, I'm sure he's itching to ask you guys some questions. So I'm gonna let him go on you. He's like a wolf; he bites. But anyway, you guys are veteran in this field, so I want to introduce.
Been bitten before,
eh?
Stretch, we've been bitten before.
Oh. Yeah. I want to introduce you to young Drew.
Hi, guys.
Hello, young Drew. It's a pleasure to see you. You finally get a chance to talk now.
Yes.
I'm still laughing at the Eco Marley joke.
I said that at a seminar in Jamaica at the university, and the whole place cheered.
I like that. I'll have to refer to that sometimes. Yes.
The next day, the Gleaner had a big article with the headline, Roger Steffens says, want to win a Grammy? Change your name to Marley.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about, I'm a little bit out there in the reggae, and I have a few contacts, and the feedback on Soja winning the Grammy, a lot of the guys say that it's well-deserved. These guys have been through the trenches. They've done a lot of work. You know what I mean? And like you guys said before, like in Jamaica, they really need to wake up and get back to that roots of the reggae.
Oh, yeah. I think we both agree with that. But I don't think that's a possibility anymore. Mm-hmm. Sadly.
Yeah.
You know, one way I've often looked at this situation with reggae is like, as I was growing up and was getting into the Rolling Stones, you know, they were a blues band. So, you know, I was digging the Rolling Stones, and then I went a little further and said, well, let me see who is this Howlin' Wolf or Muddy Waters or B.B. King, these people, Chuck Berry, mm-hmm. that they were singing about. And then I got into, you know, blues, real blues music. And, you know, maybe there's a possibility that, you know, these young white kids who, like, are 10,000 strong at reggae festivals, you know, they're not really connecting and relating to Rastafari. And, you know, even singing about ganja and weed is becoming irrelevant because mm-hmm. it's legal. So, you know, maybe the Jamaican artists need to realize that if they want this market, and they don't have to want it, you know, if inside them they want to sing about Ja Rastafari, and that's what, you know, brings, you know, that's the spirit that drives them, that's okay. But they're not going to get big amounts of American young audiences to follow them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you guys also said that in Europe, reggae is very big, and that's something that's been happening for a very long time, because when you look at a lot of those festivals that you guys mentioned, they're not headlined by Jamaicans. They're headlined by European reggae artists like Gentlemen and Gappy Ranks and so many other guys that, for us on this side of the world, these guys are like major headliners, but when they go over there, they have to be open and act for those guys.
How do you feel about Steel Pulse opening for Revolution?
Yeah.
Well, the reason they do it, and I'm very, very close with Steel Pulse, is because Revolution is the only band in America that can tour the entirety of this country and play at venues that hold 5,000 people. There's even Damian Marley can't do that.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, he's like huge. And so Steel Pulse sees it as an opportunity to get in front of 5,000 people every night. Mm-hmm. And again, sometimes we got to do in life what we need to do to get by.
And their manager on stage for many, many years is the great Errol Brown, one of the founders of the dub movement. So he's giving them a real authentic roots Jamaican sound when they play live.
Mm. Yeah, talking about Steel Pulse opening for Revolution, I saw the tweet from Chronix where he said that Soja was one of those bands that actually took him on the road, and he toured with them before he actually toured with any other Jamaican bands.
You know, and maybe, you know, if you want to, like, try to be an optimist, you know, maybe, you know, when Steel Pulse plays in front of these 5,000 people, or Chronix plays in front of a big audience with Soja, that some of them will become fans of Steel Pulse and Soj and Chronics.
Yeah.
So again, you know, sometimes the universe moves the way it moves, and we kind of got to just go with it.
Yeah, I know that you guys said purchasing doesn't have much to do with the selection of the winner, but when you look at a lot of these albums that's put out there, it's not supported by a lot of the fans of reggae music, like within Jamaica and within the Caribbean. You know what I mean? Like these guys like Soulja, they put out the album and they have all their fans that's supporting that album. But you get someone like maybe a Chronics or Taurus Riley, they put out the album and they hardly get any sales towards that.
I mean, do you even know who Stick Figure is?
Nope.
Okay, that's the biggest selling reggae band in America. And you don't know who they are.
Here's some names for you to consider in the Kali Roots movement. You know about Kali Roots?
Yeah, I know about the Kali Roots movement.
All right. Kali Roots are a bunch of young people who listened to my radio show back in the 80s and 90s when they were in grade school and picked up the vibes. And people like Doug Went in San Francisco and Lance Linares in Santa Cruz, they created a whole generation of young people who play a version of Roots music from a California point of view, and they include things like Common Kings, Slightly Stupid, Bad Fish, Arise, Roots, Revolution, Expendables, the Long Beach Dub All-Stars, who grew out of Sublime, the Expanders, Stick Figure, Groundation, and they all owe a great tip of the cam to Blue Rhythm, the first really great breakthrough all-white American reggae and ska band that dominated Sunsplash 82 and played again there in 1983, and people in Jamaica just were blown away by them. So it is possible that, you know, white people can play, you know, convincing roots music.
I have no problem with that. Yeah, that's
true. I find with a lot of those bands, especially a band like Kali Roots, and there's also J Vive, you know what I mean? They give a feeling, the beat that they give, have a feeling of love, you know what I mean? They give you that real reggae feeling that you could just vibe to.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It comes down to what's in the wax.
Yeah.
I like that.
For those of you who remember Wax.
That's it.
Hey, let me put in a plug because he's too modest. My dear friend, Dr. Dredd, never talks about himself, but I'm going to do it.
Yes.
This, you know, Record Store Day. You know, they make special records that are only on sale during Record Store Day every year in North America. Dr. Dredd is one of only two people in the history of popular music who has been allowed to remix a Bob Dylan song.
Wow.
The only other person was Mick Ronson. And he did it originally with I and I on an album that he did called...
Is It Rolling Bob?
Is It Rolling Bob? You know, reggae versions of Bob Dylan's hits. And this was a recent Record Store Day where he has Joker Man in dub. And reggae style. And wow. It is really an amazing record. And he's got this young woman on there who sounds like she's 80 years old, actually, who introduces the dub version. Joker Man, what you are dealing with? And who is that, Honeybee?
Yeah, Honeybee is her name, yeah.
She's a young white woman who lived in Jamaica for about 14 years.
Ah.
Old lady from, you know, Manchester.
Joker Man, why you are dealing with?
What I want to... I think you like that kind of madness, you know, Roger. What I want to ask Dr. Dre is, you still have a record store or not?
Yeah.
Well, I'm still involved working with reggae artists. Like I, you know, produced and remixed this Bob Dylan something. I've recently put out a record with Scientist Dubbing Culture that has a metallic reflective cover by one of America's most famous artists did the artwork.
Right.
And then, believe it or not, in my little town where I live up in the wine country of Napa Valley.
Mm.
I have an antique shop on Main Street that has a very large vinyl room. So I'm actually selling reggae vinyl.
Whoa.
And other vinyl as well. But, you know, I've got a really strong reggae section, and people who come in there, you know, I advise them and, like, you know, recommend Barrington Levy or Tenor Saw, or I've got this Bob Marley and the Wailers with U-Roy record I put out. So, yeah, I'm still out there working reggae music. I can never leave it.
Well, I have to commend you because, you know, a lot of people have gone on to other genre of music because they say there's no money in the reggae music. One of the things I want to ask you guys is, does the new wave, and I Drew jump in there and help me with this question, does the internet and all that, you know, where people can send music over, does it affect the sale of reggae music? Because nobody wants to buy anything now except these young white kids. I remember in the early years in the 80s and so forth, who would come in the shop to buy records? It was the young white kids. They drove from Quebec City, Ottawa, to come to Montreal to buy records. And we didn't see too much of our own, our young black kids, hanging out there to buy records. So now, are they downloading all the music?
Well, streaming of music, you know, is really providing very large revenues for the record labels. So the artists themselves, you know, they don't make a lot of money through streaming, but you know, the bigger reggae record labels like VP, you know, they have enough catalog that streaming, you know, it adds up. So, you know, streaming is what's happening. It's how young people have decided to listen to their music. And then some hardcore people are really big into vinyl. And my vinyl room, you know, I just bought 1,000 records here in L.A. A lot of great reggae, too.
Wow.
And, you know, it's people are interested in that, you know, warm sound of the vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't really, you know, check. Is it black people, white people buying it?
No.
So I'm just saying that vinyl is happening again, but not on the level like streaming music is.
I heard that conversation on a radio station out of New York City a couple of months ago, that vinyl is doing it again. People are asking for vinyl because of the softness of the bass line, rumbling on the wax, which one of these new albums are made of wax?
Sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I was told there's some places.
You know, there's so few places left on Earth that can do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Dr. Dredd's records are pressed overseas.
Wow.
Yeah, I heard before that there's some places in Spain and in Italy, some little communities that you go there that they just want records.
Yeah.
I'm glad. Roger, I want to ask you a quick question, right?
Sure, Drew.
What do you think is the difference between the reggae bands that's outside of Jamaica, those that's in the U.S. and in Europe and even in Brazil, compared to the ones that's coming out of Jamaica? What do you think is making the big difference?
Well, you know, reggae is the chosen rhythm of resistance.
I love that. God, I love talking to you.
And so if you're in Brazil, you're going to use elements of your own music to sing against the government, the down pressers, but it's always going to be to a reggae rhythm. And do you know the Reggae Nation book that just came out? Have you seen that?
No.
Oh, well, I got to show this to you. This is amazing.
Roger, boy. You know, folks, I'm talking real reggae historian.
Look at the size of this thing. It weighs about 14 pounds.
Wow.
And it's a Dutchman named Martin Hausman.
Mm.
I met him when my Bob Marley, when my oral history of Bob Marley came out in Holland, and it was printed in Dutch. In fact, it just came out in Chinese. It's the only book in Chinese about Bob Marley.
Wow.
But this is a 10-year project, the Reggae Nation, the global legacy of Bob Marley and the Wailers. And he goes all over the world and finds Bob Marley in the most remote places on earth, and how all these different indigenous peoples, the Maori in New Zealand, the Aboriginals in Australia, have adapted the reggae rhythm to their own music to make protest songs. Wow. It's an incredible book, the Reggae Nation, and it's sold out, but I think they're about to do a second edition of this.
You know, Roger, I'm going to take this chance right now and jump in there. I need to get you, Drew and I need to get you on air just to show us, talk to us about the history of reggae music, and show us a little bit of your home, because it's a museum, I was told.
And there's 7 rooms, floor to ceiling, of the history of reggae and Jamaican culture over the past 60 years. These are cabinets that I had custom made.
I don't want you showing me now.
Yeah.
Because when I want to put you there, telling us now, I want you what I need is for you to, just you alone, tell us the history of reggae, where it started from, et cetera, et cetera. Because a lot of people don't know themselves. They're making a lot of noise about reggae. And then you're going to show us your museum that you live in.
Well, there is a film that they've been making about me and the archives since 1999. And the denouement of the film has to be the sale of the archive to Jamaica to become a museum, the National Museum of Jamaican Music.
Oh, that would be nice.
Something I've been working on for 30 years.
Oh, my God.
But we're close. We're very close now. It all hinges on the sale of land in Montego Bay. And it's owned by the government, and they should be smart enough to know that this should have been done 30 years ago.
30 years ago. But,
and,
you know,
I'm turning 80 in June, and I'm going to fight to the day I die to get that museum built.
Please do, because our kids coming up, young Drew can go to Jamaica and see what the museum looks like. Right, Drew?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and... does the doc has anything similar to that? I want to visit your house when I come to California too.
Absolutely, you've got a room waiting for you.
And you're good. We're going to drive up there because we want to see what the doctor has up there for us.
He's going to have some amazing stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's I live in a town that has healing waters. People from around the world.
Healing waters, boy. You can drink in it, lay in it. Oh, God.
And then if you want to drink a lot of good wine, we got that too.
Mm.
And we even got a lot of good weed up there.
Oh, I can attest to that.
Come on up and visit.
All right.
Advantage of your wonderful audience and remind them that my life's work finally came together thanks to W.W. Norton Publishers.
Right.
And this is the book. It's called So Much Things to Say, The Oral History of Bob Marley. And it is interviews I've done with Bob and 75 of the people closest to him, almost all of them Jamaicans.
Oh.
And Kwame Dawes, you know, the Canadian Jamaican poet and professor and actor, gave me a beautiful blurb for the book. He said, all true gospels are shaped by the accounts of eyewitnesses. Roger Steffens has collected these accounts and given us a book of truths complicated by the bending of memory, motive, and mystery.
Damn.
The effect is a fresh and renewed affirmation of Marley's genius, humanity, and mystique.
Mm-hmm.
This book, the triumph of the storytelling virtuosity of Jamaican people, and a testament to the care and glorious obsessions of yours truly.
Yes, we have to do some
Jamaicans. It's not Timothy White making up conversations in the bedroom between Rita and Bob and all the other nonsense. And that
I know.
This is factual. This is based on people who were in the room when these things happened.
Good.
And there are over 700 Bob Marley books now. 700.
Can I ask a question?
When this book came out recently in paperback version, Rolling Stone headlined the review, "This might be the best Bob Marley book ever."
So, it is. It is the best Bob Marley book ever. Dr. Dredd say so.
Yes, Dr. Dredd. Listen, we have a 5 minutes to go. But listen, I want to know, what you've been around Bob Marley for years. You went on tour with him, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think he would be saying now that we're having this conversation about the Grammy, not awarding a white band in comparison to giving it to a black group then or whatever? What do you think Bob would say?
I think he would say it's just proof that this the world's people, wherever they come from, recognize the awesome power of job music, and I think it would make him very, very happy.
I think so too.
It's like he talked about Clapton covering "I Shot the Sheriff," opening up the world to Bob. That was a major factor in Bob's success, and he liked it. He never had anything against Clapton for doing that.
No.
I think he'd be very happy. And he and Peter would be very happy to see herb legalized.
Yes. Peter was begging for that. Any famous last words, Drew? We got to wrap up this thing.
Well, I got to say what I realized throughout my little life so far, you know what I mean, is that people of the Caribbean, if it comes to so-called reggae, we love it, but I don't think we show it the true appreciation, you know what I mean, that it deserves. Because when you get people from other cultures like you guys dig down into the roots, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And I think that's the difference between a lot of the bands now, is that they dig down in the roots and they start from the foundation and they come all the way up. Like, you guys know so much history. You know all the bands that's out there. You know what I mean? You could start a conversation and talk about a Bob Marley tour and say what day he did this, what city it was in, the time of the day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I find that you guys dig really deep down mm-hmm. into the roots. Mm-hmm. And I find that's a big difference when mm-hmm. it comes to this kind of stuff.
I've done 7 books on reggae so far. And yep. the 2 most important for the ages are my oral history, of course, and this discography, which we did in conjunction with Bunny Wailer. Leroy Jody Pearson and I spent 3 weeks locked in a hotel room in 1990 with Bunny. And we played every single song the Wailers had ever recorded. Mm. And we got the full information on everything. And 12 pages of color images of every one of the singles they've done, Bunny, Bob, and Peter. And all the information that a true collegiate course needs in a discography. This is the only discography ever done for a Jamaican artist. And it tells you the singers, the players of instruments and what they played, the engineer's name, the producer's name, the number of tracks on the master tape from those days, the studio, and most importantly, the matrix numbers in the wax between the end of the song and the beginning of the record label. And those tell you which take on the master tape was used to press that particular record. Yeah. And we have the date of each session and the year, of course, and it's still available. This is Bob Marley and the Wailers, the definitive discography, and it'll answer any questions you have about every song they ever made.
All right.
That's my contribution to the history of reggae music, and it's going to be all put together in a museum so that Jamaicans will learn how far their culture has penetrated to the world at large. Jamaicans are so naive about that.
I know, because they don't seem to understand that reggae music is what is bringing a lot of money to Jamaica at the moment, the name Jamaica, because of the fact that alumina, sugarcane, and what have you has all gone through the wind. Now, reggae is like, I'll say Usain Bolt. That's what's bringing the money right now to our island. I have 1 minute to go. Can you guys give me some? Doc, wake up, man.
I'm awake.
Am I boring you?
No, man. It's all good.
Right.
I mean, everything
just pulling your legs. But any famous last words? until we meet again, because we're going to do this again, but it will all be about the museum in which you guys live in. And I just want to, you know, whatever, what is your last words that you would tell us about what happened at the Grammys?
Well, all I would say is keep supporting Jamaica, mm-hmm. and keep supporting reggae music, mm-hmm. and, you know, get out there and show your love of reggae by supporting Jamaican artists.
I love that.
And keep to the roots.
Keep to the roots. The roots.
We don't need slackness. We don't need cocaine music. We don't need gunmen being praised.
Oh,
none
Jesus.
Of this. Don't touch the president, bull. We need conscious, highly uplifting music. That's what Bob always said.
Bob Marley. Think Bob Marley.
Yes. Drew, anything you want to say to them?
Say what?
Drew.
I'm good. I'm listening. He said what he had to say. I like that.
You're learning something from the vets.
That's it.
Yeah.
We're coming back. We're coming back for you, Drew.
No problem. I'll be ready when you get back.
All right. Thanks for sharing this with us, Drew. It's nice to make your acquaintance. I hope someday to show you the archives.
Yes.
No problem, sir.
Yes.
I hope to see it also.
Good. Because I want you guys to learn about the culture of the islands of the Caribbean, because it's rich. And these two guys has done their share. And like as Roger was saying, it's about time the government get involved in Jamaica and bring that museum to Jamaica so that we can take a plane or with my grandsons. I have two beautiful grandsons. I'll take them and say, come and see what and hear what and hear who did what. Because they all know Bob, but I want them to hear who did what in Jamaica.
What? I just had a two-month-long exhibition of my archives in Gwangju, South Korea, where they had an uprising against the dictatorship in 1980, and they had dozens of people murdered by the army, but eventually they overthrew the government. And it coincided with Bob Marley's uprising tour. 100,000 people jammed the streets of Gwangju a few weeks before 100,000 people went to Bob Marley's biggest concert ever in the San Siro Soccer Stadium in Milan. And that was part of his uprising tour. So this was an amazing exhibition. And there's stuff up on YouTube where you can see my introduction. The theme of this huge biennial was dub music. And 150,000 people came during the months of September and October to see my collection and
wow.
also material from Sadella Marley at the Marley Estate.
All right. Thank you guys extremely, very much. We have opened a little bit of the door in if not in the fall, just before the fall. We would love to have you guys back. All right.
That'd be fun.
All right, Doc. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And Roger, all the best for those of you.
One love, Drew. One love, Stretch.
Hello to
my friends up there, Richard LaFrance and all my friends in Montreal. I miss you.
I will. I hope we can put back the reggae fest so you guys can come up. All right? So have
one love.
One love. All right. Take care. Roger Stephan. I don't want to wait. All right, that was Mr. Roger Stephan and Dr. Dre. Listen, there's a lot of history, but I want to get Roger, because Vern Maytone says to tell him hello, and I forgot, because Vern told me. I hope you're still listening, Roger. They have a wicked house of all the music and the knowledge of. Anyway, we get him back on here. 6:49 in the evening hours. DJ Nicholas gonna take us home. All right. You're listening to Soulja in the back there.
Again, I promise that I've heard too much already. To me,
90.3 FM, West Indian Rhythms, 90.3 FM.
King Bubba Bubba.
90.3 FM, West Indian Rhythms, 90.3 FM.
That was good. We don't hear about Freddie no more.
I'm a longing to see you. I want to know how you've been doing over yonder. I'm gonna catch this flight, and when I reach my destination, I hope you'll be smiling. Longing to see me. I thought you'd drop me a line just to say hello, my dear. I'm doing fine. Doesn't matter anyway now, 'cause my love for you will never change. Tell me what you're doing right now, 'cause when
push comes to shove, everybody gonna put the blame on me
for loving you, for loving you. When
wanna say hello to Miss Jimmy Jones.
A position to maintain.
Wait a boy.
The way that you're accustomed to.
Oh yeah.
Can't take you out to fancy places.
Ooh,
ooh. Like other fellas that I know can do. I'm only able to romance you and make you tingle with delight. Financially, I'm a pauper.
Let me ask Drew, how was it speaking to the veterans? How was it, Drew?
Amazing stuff. Amazing stuff, Stretch.
These are guys...
You know, sometimes, you know me, I like to be a sponge. I like to be a sponge.
But that's good, because you learn a lot. You learn a lot, you know what I mean? And these are people you want to know. You want to meet artists. This is who, these are the guys you want to know. That Dr. Dre, Dr. I keep saying Dr. Dre, Dr. What he calls himself. He had a massive distribution in Washington.
Oh, yeah. I saw, you know what? Speaking to him, I remember seeing his label, Russ Records, out of Washington, D.C.
Very big.
Yeah, very, very big label. You know, and like I said, right, these guys, they do their homework when it comes to the record. They have a super, super appreciation for the culture.
They do, because you know I my friend who was at the Gazette, he died, and Gary Steckles, we used to sit and only talk reggae. That's all.
Yeah.
Anyways, Drew, I have 7 minutes to go, so let me shut up, and let the people enjoy the rest of the music. And we'll be back next week with something. I don't know. We'll find something to talk about, won't we? What about the lady from Barbados House?
Oh, we gotta get her on. I'm actually going to send her a message.
Send her a message and tell her Stretch says, if she doesn't come on this radio, I'm coming looking for her.
You know what? If she doesn't come on the radio and you want to go look for her, you can find her April the 30th.
Where?
They're going to be doing a celebration of Barbados, the new republic, April the 30th. So I think we're going to try to get her on next week, and she could tell you a lot about that.
All right, my brother. Take care. We talk, all right?
Okay, thank you, Stretch.
You're welcome.
West Indian Rhythms, 90.3 FM.
Nice to see. I heard you whisper to me.
Damn, Nicholas.
Turn out the light. You can crawl and do things on my own time. Hey, 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 now.
much about history. Don't know much about biology. Don't know much about science books. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I love you. And I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Oh, hi. For you I'd give a lifetime of stability and anything you want of me. Nothing is impossible for you. There are no words or ways to show my love or all the thoughts I'm thinking of. 'Cause this life is no good alone since we change. And everything I do now makes sense. And all roads ends. All I do is for you.
Once again, it's 5 minutes to the hour of 7 o'clock. On behalf of the staff here, Louise, and of course, you know, my little friend, I don't want to burden them by calling the names too often. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. To those of you who have spent your money on this station, we want to say thank you. We try our best to do with what little we know, and I have done all that I could to make this radio program what it is after 30 years. And I thank you all, those of you who have stuck with us, like one lady says, she never cleans her living room until West Indian Rhythm starts. And her kitchen. Okay? So, I want to say thanks. But you know, it continues. Regardless what language you speak, there is something you can listen to on CKUT, all right? So, I'm going to leave you with this. Gramps Morgan didn't make it, and I am kind of feel it for him, but still. Oh, God, here, next week I'm going to play the whole thing. Sounds of love and peace and happiness. And I just want to say thank you, thank you. On behalf of Fadlin Sankar, myself, Drew, Nicholas, Colin, Bev, the whole crew, we love you all. Love on her, love on her, love on her. Like my daughter used to say to me when she was younger, love you, love you, love you, Dad. Sweetest sounds you can hear is the tender words of love, especially when it's true. Bye-bye. Until next week, same time, same place. Gramps had this on his album, but it's not a reggae. You know? Beautiful sounds of CKUT 90.3 FM. Until next week, Saturday, come back to us. Bye-bye. Remember, whatever you do, check out Boom Boom Time tomorrow at 4 p.m. All right? God bless. Thank you all for your notes.
If you give a little more than you take, and if you try to fix more than you break, if you're the kind who takes the time to help a stranger in the rain, there's a place for people like you. If you stand up for those down on their knees and lend a voice to those who cannot speak, if you shine a little light, give sight to the ones who've lost their way, there's a place for people like you. I've heard up there the streets are made of gold, and when you get there, there's a hand to hold. When your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you. If you walk around with your heart on your sleeve, and if you're trying to be the change you wanna see, someone could be saved. There's a place for people like you.
I've heard up there the streets are made of gold.
And when you get there, there's a hand to hold.
I believe
when your days down here are through, there's a place up there for people like you.
One stop is the place to be. The best tasting food, West Indian food. Check it out.
334
St. Jock Street. The one and only Chef X. And the best. Everyone calling up his name, talking about him. All type of food ready right there. Fish, vegetables, oxtail, curry goat, jerk chicken. That same tasting Caribbean food in a Montreal. And then me go when me left Jamaica. Go there right now. The food delicious, delicious. West Indian Caribbean cuisine. I will be there. Check it out. Check it out.
Bone repping that Bone Thugs, Mo Thugs out of Cleveland.
I was raised in the projects. It's Project Patton's thing, man.
What up? It's your boy Consequence.
This your girl Candy.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This your girl Rashida the Georgia Peach, straight from the ATL.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's going on, man? This your boy Black Jack, man. Mr. Ride and Swerve.
You already know what time it is, man. Southwest Click just got the wheels clean, so I'm riding slow now.
Yo, what's good, y'all? It's your boy Bad C.
Welcome to Go Come.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is Smack. Smack DVD.
Yo, it's your boy Artest. You already know what it is, man.
What up, y'all? It's your girl, Candace Jones.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Sean. Keep the Bravo.
Hey, this is Lila James, and I'm chilling with my main man, DJ Mike Mission and Ken Dog.
Yeah, you are chilling with the Alcoholics.
Yeah, and we hanging out at the Masters at Work show with Mike Mission and Ken.